Hi, my name is Holly Hancock, and I am the new host of the Gay Mormon Stories podcast. I am thrilled to have been asked to work on this project and to be involved, and I am very much looking forward to meeting a lot of you and talking with a lot of you, and obviously hearing and sharing your stories. So I'd like to just briefly introduce myself so that you all know who I am, where I'm coming from, and why I'm excited about this project. Like I said, my name is Holly. I currently live in Salt Lake City, Utah, although I have been a transplant to this state. I was born in Idaho Falls, Idaho, and have moved all over the place. Kind of ping-ponged back and forth between Idaho and Montana. My dad was in the military. We lived in Texas for a little while for his basic training. Then moved to Montana, ping-ponged back and forth between Idaho and Montana. My dad began working for the railroad, Union Pacific Railroad, and we eventually moved to the Midwest. We moved to Omaha, Nebraska when I was 12 years old. I had to sell my horse and move off the farm and into the city, which was a very awkward transition. Not to mention, like I said, I was 12 years old and it just made it that much more difficult anyway. Talk about a real test of your self-esteem, self-value, and self-worth. These people were foreign to me. I was used to going to school with kids who were farmers and ranchers, and wearing Western shirts and cowboy boots to school was not uncommon. We had spud harvest breaks, for those of you familiar with Idaho. And in Montana, there were oftentimes in the fall months that kids would miss quite a bit of school because we were all very involved in the harvest and doing farming and ranching kinds of activities. So that's where I came from. And I say blame it all on my roots. I still sometimes show up in boots and can't seem to take the country and the cowgirl out of my heart, out of my soul, and that's kind of who I am. I guess if you say I'm a cowgirl, I would definitely be a maverick, someone who does her own thing, her own way, and as such, I really admire some of those old West figures, like whether fictional or real life characters, Annie Oakley and Mae West and others. So that's a little bit about my past. Lived in Nebraska, moved to Missouri for 3 years. I lived in Kansas City for 3 years, attended Raytown High School for my first 2 years of high school, and once again had my heart ripped out again when I had to move between my sophomore and junior year back to Nebraska, where I completed my junior and senior year at Elkhorn High School. Immediately following high school, I attended Ricks College in Rexburg, Idaho, where I was a member of the women's track and field team. I threw heavy things, great distances, meaning I was a shot put, discus, and hammer thrower. And if you ask me any day if I'd like to pick up the hammer and go throw for several hours, I would be in the car in a heartbeat. I loved throwing the hammer and loved my experiences on the track team. I was ranked in the top 10 in the nation for both of the years that I competed there, and ended up my freshman year with All-American honors in the shot put. So I have a shot put on a stand in my living room, and people come in and say, "Is that a cannonball?" And I said, "Yes, and I'm going to blast your house if you touch it." And then I have to explain it's a shot put, and sometimes I have to even go further and tell them what the shot put, discus, and hammer are. But always love to talk about my sports, always love to talk about my experiences. Played basketball all through high school and enjoy just about all kinds of sports and even new sports. Since moving to Utah, my husband and I have become avid snowshoers and love that our backyard, being the Wasatch Front and surrounding areas, is one of the premier places where we can strap on some snowshoes and get out of town in just a matter of minutes. I love the closeness of Mill Creek Canyon, Big and Little Cottonwood Canyons, Parleys. We've been up Parleys and hiked through some fun little places there and discovered on one particular snowshoe outing that we were on the original Pony Express trail one time. And you would have never found this had you not been back in the trees and back in the woods and stumbled across the marker that we found. So kind of as an adventure. My husband gives me grief all the time because I love to photograph and take pictures while I am out and about, and he gets cold and yells at me and says, "Hey, Ansel, let's go." But I just say, "Keep going and I'll catch up." I am a shutterbug. So with that, I am married. I have the cutest husband, the best and cutest and most awesome Canadian that you will ever meet. And he's the love of my life. And I just don't know what I would do without him. We have a sassy little daughter who is 4 years old and keeps us on our toes. We never know what's going to come out of her mouth. And that makes life a lot of fun. And I have, and so has my husband, had to keep very close monitoring of our language and the things that we use. Not that I am a complete potty mouth, but sometimes it does get to that. And I think you all understand or know what I am saying. I finished my degree after a mission to the Japan Sendai mission at the University of Utah. I transplanted to Utah for a summer job as an EFY counselor in the summer of 1996, and this summer job has turned into me living here since 1996. So I have lived in Utah and at the address that I currently live at longer than any other address, maybe even some combined, than I have lived in my entire life. And it's kind of comforting, and I really like having some roots put down, and I really appreciate that. I graduated with my bachelor's degree from the University of Utah in Women's Studies. That program and that degree is now called Gender Studies. While I was at the U, I took several courses that are called service learning courses, which means that you get credit for volunteering in the community, doing community service types of things. And the one that I chose to do, even after I was out and graduated with my bachelor's degree, was I volunteered at the Utah AIDS Foundation. Ended up being a test site coordinator for the HIV testing that is provided and offered through that organization. I loved it. Got to meet some wonderful people through the Utah AIDS Foundation, and I still recognize some faces from that organization, and maybe someday when there's not so many things on my plate, I can reconnect and become involved with them once again, because they are fantastic people and do fantastic service in so many areas of the LGBT community. That's how I first maybe made a foray into working in the LGBT community, and have known for a very long time that this is a community that I've wanted to work with, that I'm passionate about working with, and knew that I needed to. My reasoning for starting to work with the Utah AIDS Foundation was, at the time, statistics were that heterosexual women were the fastest growing population for HIV infection. And as a heterosexual woman, that concerned me, because I had just graduated in women's studies, and certainly women's health and mental health issues were at the forefront of my concern. And so I wanted to be an advocate through that organization to the heterosexual female population. But little did I know that that wouldn't be my primary focus there, and my primary focus there would just be getting the word out in terms of safety and protection, inclusion, acceptance, empowerment, and all of the other wonderful things that the AIDS Foundation embody and exemplify. I was also a, what did they call us? I'm trying to think, an outreach educator or something like that, meaning that if an organization wanted someone to come speak about HIV and AIDS, safe sex, what have you, that we would go out into the community and make those presentations for free. So test site counselor and also an outreach educator. Through my experience at the AIDS Foundation working as a counselor in their test site, I started to see and feel very compelled and very drawn to the counseling field and mental health therapy, which led me to begin my graduate work as a clinical mental health counselor. I am currently a clinical mental health counselor licensed in the state of Utah. I have my own private practice, Iron Mountain Counseling, and I am weeks, and when I say weeks, I mean weeks away from finishing my doctorate in counseling psychology, and will be so relieved and so glad when that is over, because then I can really focus on some of these fun projects that I have been putting on the back burner to complete my education. And to be honest, I don't know that I ever want to go back to school as a student again, although I know in saying that I'm a complete and total nerd and will end up in classrooms, conferences, and workshops throughout the rest of my life. So I'm really only deluding myself to think that I won't be back in the classroom at some point in the very near future. So what else can I tell you about me? I am an LGBT ally. I am active in the LDS Church, and I am an LGBT affirming therapist. I have a gay brother, and I also have a gay nephew, and I am sure as life continues, other LGBT members of my family may feel comfortable and confident enough to share their story with me. And I have been the first for many of my friends and family members that they have come to test the waters about acceptance of them being LGBT. And I certainly hope that they felt comfortable and loved and accepted and validated as they've shared their stories with me, because I certainly have been honored to share their journey and their lives with them. I am also involved with the Circling the Wagons conferences. I'm the president of the Circling the Wagons conferences committee and enjoy that work, and also creating a safe place where people from different places under the LGBT big tent are, so that we can all come together and discuss issues together and find common ground and inclusivity rather than exclusivity of the many differing opinions, viewpoints, etc. in the LGBT community. I don't know what else to maybe tell you about at this point, but I just wanted to give you a little bit of a flavor of who I am, and that I will be the new host of this awesome podcast and this awesome legacy that's been created, and looking forward to meeting with all of you. I will put this out there that if you have suggestions for Gay Mormon Stories topics or people you'd like me to interview and talk to, please feel free to shoot me an email at therapist, therapist, holly@gmail.com. Or you can find me on Facebook, Holly Hancock, HollyHancock. Send me a message, send me a friend request, and let's get this dialogue started. I'm really looking forward to this opportunity and the good and the positive and the lovely that will be created as we move forward together with this podcast series. Welcome to this special edition of the Circling the Wagons conversation. We've got Ann Heffer, who is president of Circling the Wagons organization, and Kendall Wilcox, who is vice president of Circling the Wagons organization. Just to clarify, Circling the Wagons organization is a 501(c) nonprofit organization that, as you will see and hear in the coming minutes, I am sure, be impressed with the work that they are doing, and to kind of get a solidarity and a safe community for people from all over the spectrum of the LGBT community to come together in a safe place to talk and bounce ideas off one another and come to greater understanding with each other. And I am Holly Hancock. I am the president of the Circling the Wagons Conferences Committee. And what that means is that I am under the umbrella of the Circling the Wagons organization. So maybe a little confusing, and hopefully this gets ironed out a bit as we chat. So welcome to Anne and Kendall. Really happy to have you guys here today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Holly.
You bet. So guys, we have worked really hard to get this conference together, and the platforms and the participants and everything that's involved. And I, for one, am excited for what's going to happen this weekend and looking forward to what will unfold. Anne, would you mind giving us maybe just a brief overview of the events of this weekend?
Absolutely. We will be starting on Friday night at 7 o'clock at the McGillis School, and that is at 668 South 1300 East in Salt Lake City. And our first event will be a workshop for families in conflict. And the idea behind this workshop is really quite exciting. Over the last 12 months, something new and different has happened within the LGBT same-sex attracted Mormon therapeutic community. Lee Beckstead, along with some of his colleagues, held a Building Bridges workshop last February, I believe. And it, out of the idea that coming out of the last Circling the Wagons conference where we were able to keynote Josh Weed alongside Joseph Broom and Alan Miller, that we could get these different sides together to begin to have conversations. And evidently what happened at that Building Bridges workshop was a learning growth experience for many of these therapists who in the past just been in major conflict, and they spent the year actually beginning to come together and starting to listen to each other and find some places where they did have common ground. And that doesn't mean, of course, that they agree on everything. They disagree about a lot, but I think as therapists, they really have this sense of that together they can have this ability to stand in their own shoes and know what they disagree about and hold tight to their own beliefs, yet also listen to others' perspectives and try to really grasp that. So what they've done for this Friday night workshop that we'll be holding at the McGillis School is they've come together with this idea that there are so many Mormon families and just Mormons in conflict over what to do about this issue, the LGBT and same-sex attracted Mormon issue, that don't feel like they can communicate with the people that they love the very most, that are the most important people in their lives, and that it's not, one of the reasons why they can't get together in one space is because it's not safe for people from differing perspectives to come and listen to a person that only holds one perspective on in these issues. And so what they've done, which is really quite genius, is decided to come together and, as therapists who disagree, create a safe space where they exemplify conflict resolution and listening and trying to gain understanding in hopes that Mormons from all across the spectrum can feel safe coming together and participating in that discussion too. So it is for families in conflict, but I think it's for anyone who has witnessed this conflict and been part of it. And hopefully a place where you can invite your family members who might disagree with you to come, and that they will feel safe too, so that those conversations can begin to happen.
Yeah, I just want to add.
That's what's Friday.
Sorry, I just wanted to add really quickly. Yes, it says families in conflict, but having been to that conference from February and participated in that and working with Lee in a similar venture in terms of communication and how to approach family and friends, et cetera, the conference or the workshop on Friday night, I think, is going to be helpful information for anybody, whether or not you have the best, most awesome family and friend support. Maybe you have a coworker or a boss or, you know, someone in your life that you just don't see eye to eye with and have conflict with. I think this workshop will be valuable for general information and general communication and understanding and acceptance across the board.
Yeah, and just chiming in for myself as one of those gay Mormons myself, and having attended that same workshop as well, just knowing that there are people, again, from across this sort of ideological spectrum, who are willing to acknowledge that, you know what, at the end of the day, it's all about the needs of people like me. That they are willing to put aside some of their professional ideological imperatives and remember that at the end of the day, we're trying to make life more livable for the gay Mormons who are caught in the middle. Hopefully, that's what will also be conveyed at this workshop this coming Friday, so that those who are considering going can feel that, oh, it's really going to help address my needs of how to navigate my life where I'm caught in the middle of all this, and give me some tools and empower me to engage in conversations with some of the more liberal folks in my life and maybe some of the more conservative folks in my life.
Yeah, excellent, excellent point. So we kind of got cut off just a little bit there because we're also excited about this workshop on Friday night. And do you want to move forward with the weekend? What's going to happen on Saturday?
Absolutely. So Saturday, we will be meeting at the Wasatch Presbyterian Church, and that is at 1626 South 17th East in Salt Lake City as well. And we'll be starting with our main conference at 11 o'clock a.m. And the doors will be open at 10:30. So please come and chat, and prelude music will start at 10:45, and the conference will start on time. And our first session will be a keynote session, and all of our keynote speakers will be speaking towards the conference theme, which is coming together, listening to gain understanding and find common ground. And this conference theme reflects the work that these eight therapists have done over the last year, because what's occurred is they have been able to come together and they've listened to each other and they've been able to find places where they do share common ground, and they have this desire to work together, hopefully to extend that to the community and communicate to the community what they've discovered about their relationships and how much they really do love and respect and care for each other. So we'll be starting, our first keynote speaker will be Randall Thacker. Randall Thacker is not a professional therapist. He has been incredible. He's done incredible work at building bridges, though, as the president of Affirmation. Then Lee Beckstead will be speaking, followed by David Matson. And we're really lucky during that session to also have the One Voice Choir singing Love One Another and Thankful. One of the things that's really important at all of the conferences that I've done in the past and that other people have participated in, both Mormon Stories conferences and Circling the Wagons conferences, is having breaks to socialize. So I hope that people will feel excited to come and not only attend the keynote sessions, but have these 30-minute breaks between every session where they can meet new people, make friends, hopefully discuss thoughts and ideas with people that they wouldn't have been able to have conversations with otherwise. So after the first 30-minute break, we will be moving into two dialogue workshop sessions. In the past, at Surfing the Wagons, we've called these breakout sessions, but we've decided this year that we really want to focus on the idea of dialogue during the session, so that all of the attendees hopefully can feel like they will have more of a chance to participate in the conversation themselves. But what this will be two sessions, one after another, where all attendees get to choose a dialogue workshop to attend. So there will be fewer people in each room, making it more conducive to conversation. So some of the dialogue workshops that we have are acknowledging the perspective of the straight spouse, and that's going to be a really exciting one. We have straight spouses who are in mixed orientation marriages and straight spouses who've gotten out of their marriages and are moving on to find relationships with people into heterosexual relationships. But they've worked really hard, and this will be true for all of them. I'm just using this as an example of what the dialogue workshops will be like. But hopefully, they've worked really hard to put together a workshop that will have a facilitation team that has people from both sides of the spectrum on it, and a neutral facilitator that tries to bring the conversation to the audience as well. So that's going to be applicable to many of the dialogue workshops. The other workshops we'll be having will be Circles of Empathy. Kendall will be doing that. Lisa Hansen, we're really lucky to have her. She's going to be holding a workshop on a perspective on the overall mental health of the LGBTQ and SSA community. Holly is running a workshop on the transgender experience. we're really lucky again this year to have Same Gender Attraction at BYU facilitating a workshop for us. And one of the most popular workshops we've had in previous conferences is Navigating Going to Church as an LGBTQ or SSA Mormon. And this one may end up being quite a surprise. I can't tell you who's on the panel right now, but hopefully we will have some fun names and faces that will make that one an attraction.
Can I just add something really quick here, Anne? I just have to say, as someone who's involved in terms of participating and having a dialogue workshop myself, I'm really kind of upset because there are so many good dialogue workshops being held. I want to participate. I want to go be in the other ones. So we need to figure out how to maybe do holographic Holly so that I can go attend the other ones.
So fortunately, one of the things we're doing to solve that is we're having two dialogue workshop sessions instead of one. So if you're an attendee, you can, some of the workshops will be held twice. The ones that we think might be the most popular, although we're just guessing based on the topic, but the ones that apply to a lot more people will be held twice so that you might be able to attend both. But the other thing we're doing is we're recording these. So those who can't attend all of them, like all of us, will be able to listen later.
Thanks, Anne. I appreciate that.
And then, okay, I will go on. And Jay Jacobson will be doing one on the value of listening to all sides respectfully. Jay's also a member of the conference's committee and has a strong reputation for being able to really dig in and listen to everyone. And Kim Mack, who is on the board of directors of the Circling the Wagons public charity, will be doing a dialogue workshop about lesbians. And we're really excited to have Marion Edmonds Allen to talk about gay straight alliances. So we're excited to have her support, and she's just been friendly and wonderful and is excited to be here and talk about the incredible work that she does.
Marion is wonderful, and I would second and third and fourth her participation because she is a truly incredible woman. So glad to have such great speakers and participants at this year's conference. I think it just adds to the breadth and depth and the wealth of knowledge and information that everyone will be in for at this weekend's conference. So that's exciting.
Amen.
And then okay, go ahead. That's what I was just going to say. Anne, we're still missing some information. Go ahead.
After the second dialogue workshop, there will be, of course, another half-hour break, because that's the most important part where people can chat and hopefully get to know each other, make new friends. We'll be having a final closing session. This year, we're not doing a story-sharing meeting, partially because we wanted to do two dialogue workshop sessions so people could attend everything they wanted. And partially because I think there have become a lot of other venues in the last few years where people are able to get up and share their stories. So there's less of a need for that than there has been in the past. So our closing session, instead of being a story sharing meeting, will begin with a musical number by Brian Horn, who is the founder and president of the One Voice Choir. And he'll be singing Abide With Me. And then, exciting, we have a panel and audience discussion that's put together by this group of therapists who have spent the last year building bridges and sharing with each other and trying to find a way to resolve conflict within Mormonism. And the title that they've chosen for their panel is Opening the Circle, Growing Out of Exclusivity. And being involved in this process and listening to them, there is on all sides a nervousness. People from the quote right, and I recognize very much that that is reductionistic, but wondering how they can use words to be safe for people on the left and vice versa, and how these therapists, knowing amongst themselves how much they really disagree, how they can, instead of coming and focusing on those disagreements, come and talk about constructive conflict resolution and trying to find a way to work together, and hopefully they get the community to work together and understand what that would look like, so that all of us collectively can start doing what I think, as I've talked to people on all sides of this issue, everyone cares about, which is finding a way to care for the most vulnerable among us, the people who are really, really suffering and who are really facing exclusion and hurt and pain. And doing that by demonstrating that despite the fact that these people disagree, they do want to work together and they do want to be inclusive of each other and of all Mormons, regardless of where they stand in their political opinions, their beliefs, their relationships, their life decisions, the way they identify, etc. So I'm excited to hear what's going to happen. It feels historical. It's new. I don't know that I've ever heard of anything like this happening within a religious conservative community on such a historically divisive topic.
Yeah. I would agree with that, and I think that all of us are excited to see how it unfolds. And I think that circling the wagons has definitely been not only an evolutionary process, but a revolutionary process as well. And so, Kendall, I'm wondering if you can maybe give us a little bit of background about how circling the wagons came to be, and how did we get to today? How did we get to the conference this weekend?
Well, it's a big question, but very simple. You know, it started about 3 years ago, really led by Anne and her desire to create the safe space for dialogue within the LDS community around the divisive questions and issues of the LGBT and same-sex attracted experience, and has sort of evolved from that place 3 years ago. So this will be the third conference. The first year, we tried in small ways to take that step into the deep waters of really trying to get people of very divergent attitudes and beliefs about how to approach and even resolve the conflict between certain LDS policies and doctrines and the actual lived experience of being LGBT or same-sex attracted, trying to create a safe space where people could start dialoguing around that. It was very small that first year. But the response in terms of people showing up was enormous, which only demonstrated the deep need within the community to have a place of dialogue. And then the following year, we were able to follow up and have people from, again, from sort of across the aisle come and talk. For example, we had Stephen Free and Josh Weed speak alongside Joseph Broom and Alan Miller, who have, you know, respectively had very different experiences of being in mixed orientation marriages, each of them. And that, of course, caused a bit of controversy and sort of scared people because they thought, wait, how can I be a part of a conversation that allows for this sort of difference to be so respectfully acknowledged and engaged in? And that proposition itself actually, I think, you know, drove a lot of people away because they weren't prepared by their own community and culture to know how to respond. Like, but wait, how do I hold space for such difference and listen and learn from it, but while at the same time maintaining what I think and feel and believe about myself and how to engage in my life. And then that brings us to this year where, again, we're bringing together people from very divergent perspectives and theoretical sort of outlooks on this conflict resolution from more of the therapeutic perspective, like Anne has said. And I think the conference will continue to evolve in this way where our central objective is to create this safe space to allow people to come and listen to what typically or historically they would find to be even repugnant to some people, to hear, you know, somebody talk about their same-sex marriage and how it works for them in the context of the Mormon faith, or for somebody else to come and hear of how they've engaged in different types of reparative therapy and how it has actually brought them some sustainable amount of peace and health in their life along their life process. All of that can be very scary and repugnant, like I said, to some people, but in our view, it will continue to be a deep, deep need within our community to help the most vulnerable among us to really learn about themselves, who they are, and how they're going to live their lives. And the best way of doing that is to expose them to these divergent beliefs and opinions and life experiences, but in a context where it's safe to say, like, well, I still want to hold on to who I am and what I believe, but I do want to listen and hear from other people. So that's a really great broad overview of sort of the history and the ethos of the Circling the Wagons conferences.
Yeah, I just kind of want to add to that, too, that the Circling the Wagons, like one of the things that we would like to strive for is a safe space, that empowers, promotes diversity, promotes self-determination and acceptance for the healthy, mentally healthy, spiritually healthy lives of everyone involved. And I think that that's should be stated. And with that, I'm wondering, Anne, if we could maybe talk a little bit about Circling the Wagons conferences, statement of purpose and how that plays into what's going on this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it goes back to the word that you just used there, Holly, empowerment, and this idea that, and I'll read the statement of purpose word for word in just a second, but just this idea that if we create an environment that accepts diversity and where diversity becomes something that we are okay with, and we're communicating to people who are different than ourselves, who believe differently or act differently than we do, that they are accepted and wanted and belong, regardless of the differences that we have between us, then we are empowering them and we are empowering ourselves through that acceptance and that love and that belongingness. And that's a way that hopefully individuals can find healing and the community can find healing, so that it becomes about more than dialogue, although dialogue is important, but the dialogue becomes a process for communicating acceptance to everyone for the health of the community and for individual empowerment. So I hope that just keeping those thoughts in mind, that the idea is empowerment, as I read the statement of purpose, will be helpful in making sense of this to some. So I will read. The goal of Circling the Wagons conferences is to create spaces where LGBTQ or same-sex attracted Mormons and their families and friends can gather to acknowledge, explore, and honor shared experiences. No issues strike more deeply than whom we love and how we understand our beliefs about ourselves and God. These issues carry an especially profound weight in Mormon communities and have been the source of a great deal of misunderstanding, judgment, and hurt. Consequently, gay Mormons are deeply divided over how to address same-sex attraction and negotiate the choices they face. In convening this conference, and all Circling the Wagons conferences, we are inviting LGBTQ and same-sex attracted Mormons and their families and friends to step beyond historic divisions to establish a shared space where all who have ever self-identified as Mormon can speak truthfully and respectfully. We welcome all who wish to participate in a spirit of fellowship and openness, with condemnation for none and compassion for all, in the hopes that we will all experience personal renewal and discover a basis for common ground in our shared heritage.
And I love it, but I immediately want to acknowledge that for some, as fluffy and beautiful and good as that statement of purpose sounds, and as much as I personally wholeheartedly agree with it and affirm it, it can be a challenge to engage with in the context of the Mormon religious community, where there are messages being sent out about being wary of tolerance, for example, and to be wary of a tolerance trap, where there are these subtle or not so subtle messages of that diversity isn't actually that good of a thing, and we should be careful and circumspect and not engage with differences and otherness that might challenge or ask questions of our fundamental beliefs. So I want to sort of extend an arm of empathy to those that might even recoil to some of the statements made in the statement of purpose that feel a little too scary. And I totally feel that and understand that, and hopefully we can work together to sort of reconcile the reservations that somebody might have in approaching that, and so that they can still feel safe to come and hold on to their faith and their feelings and their beliefs, and yet also find benefit, real, real spiritual, practical emotional benefit in listening to and engaging with people that are different.
Yeah, and to know that they're not alone. I think that that's it's ubiquitous. I've seen that, you know, as I look over the process that we've gone through over the last few years, we've set forward the statement of purpose, and people have, I think, loved it because it's so idealistic and it's beautiful. And how can you even really disagree with that? But then, wait, that's threatening me. That's threatening who I am. I don't want to extend this to people who are like me. I don't want to extend it to all.
Right.
You know? And so there's just this difficult tension that makes moving in this direction for so many valid reasons hard for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what it is. And I'm not sure that any of us have all of the answers, which is part of perhaps the excitement and the, I don't know, it's frightening too, to try and come to these spaces where we will meet up with diversity. And all I can really say is I think we're all kind of in the same boat, in a sense.
Right. And I would just like to add and maybe put this out there that if you're attending the conference and something maybe begins to feel uncomfortable or you just don't understand and you really want your question answered, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring, and Anne and Kendall, yours as well. Pull one of us aside and say, hey, I have a question about this. Can you maybe help me understand this piece and why this and why not that, or whatever your questions are. Look for, you know, CTW, you know, conference committee, look for Kendall, look for Anne, look for myself. We'd be happy to try to walk you through your question. And I will say that if, for example, let's say it's a question regarding, you know, Lee Beckstead's approach to whatever. If Lee's available, I have no problem walking up to Lee and saying, hey, Lee, this is my friend, John, and he has a question about how this might apply to him. And why you presented it this way, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I really would like to put people in contact with people who can answer their questions in a thorough way and in a way that you feel satisfied. I don't want people to feel like they're being, you know, given the company line or being brushed off. So I am committed to giving people the opportunity to ask those questions, and let's get you some good answers. So, sorry, Anne and Kendall, for volunteering you for that, but you just got volunteered.
Absolutely.
Yay!
Absolutely.
I'd love to add too, if I can, that there's a great fear, as we've addressed this fear, which I think we need to directly talk about it because it's real. Also, we've done a lot of things where I can't guarantee that they'll all work because we never know what's going to happen on the day of the conference, but I think it's going to be very safe. These therapists aren't coming together to talk about the conflict. My personal sense, as I've had this opportunity to speak to many, many people on all sides of this, is that collectively as a community, we're not really ready to have dialogues about the things that are really, really the most emotional and tense, and have those dialogues be constructive. I hope that we might be able to get there. But I think right now we're kind of just in this beginning baby place where what we need to do is talk about talking. So this conference is going to be more about conflict resolution and just being in that same shared space together and trying to make that safe space for everyone and accepting and that belong and have that belongingness be there, more than really delving into the issues that are really emotional right now. With that said, know, maybe we can get there in a couple of years. One of the things that's been really exciting about Surfing the Wagons in the last 3 years that Kendall, Holly, and I have been walking through is how much change has happened in the Mormon community regarding just people's fears and their feelings and their ability to talk and speak out loud about these ideas. When we ran the first Surfing the Wagons conference in Salt Lake City in 2011, that's when Kevin Klusterman was invited to speak, and I remember when I was trying to get him just get it approved to have him speak, just how much tension there was. And when a bishop came out, an acting bishop came out in support of LGBT and same-sex attracted Mormons, it was a big deal publicly. And now these things are very common. These dialogues are happening all the time, and they're happening, I think, in a way that's becoming progressively more healthy for the community and for Mormons. And we're in this place right now where we're ready for what we're ready for today. And that's what this conference will be. And it's my hope that over time we'll keep progressing in the direction of being able to have healthy, constructive conversations about some of the more difficult issues. But I don't necessarily expect a lot of that this year, because it's just not time, if that makes sense.
It does. It does.
As I hope that it is time, so we'll see. But I just want to say, I don't mean to sort of, I don't want anybody to feel intimidated that they have to engage in the toughest or most divisive issues this year, but I, at the same time, I think there's a lot of people that are ready and able and willing, and hopefully we can create that space where it can happen.
Right, right. That's wonderful. I know we were going to talk a little bit about the Circles of Empathy and the retreat this summer, but I think we're kind of out of time for today, and so may I ask that we reconvene and have another discussion very, very soon about the Circle of Empathy retreat and purposes and activities of Circles of Empathy. Is that okay, Kendall?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's wonderful.
If it's okay, Holly, I'd like to announce that we'll be holding a retreat in Salt Lake City the third weekend of June. And it'll be a 3-day retreat where we will be going through the entire Circles of Empathy practice, and just so people can put it on their calendars and be thinking ahead.
Yeah, so...
But in the meantime, we will have... I'll be presenting Circles of Empathy in both sessions at the conference this weekend. So if anybody's curious about what the heck we're even talking about, they can come there and find out.
Yeah. So just to recap... go ahead.
As we say, we should get some websites out here in case people want to register. You can go to circlingthewagons.org for information about Circling the Wagons, or circlesofempathy.org for information about Circles of Empathy.
Right. And you can register right from the Circling the Wagons website, which we do encourage pre-registration, because that helps us not have to guess so much in terms of count and treats, because that's important about going to a conference. You got to have treats. So,
the walk-in registrations are available.
Yes.
And please come. The cost is $25 for the Friday night workshop for families and $37 for the Saturday conference. Although we want everyone to be able to come, so if that is too exorbitant for you, or if you're a student, or we don't care what your circumstances are, just email us at admin@circlingthewagons.org, and we will get your name on a list. Everyone's invited. You shouldn't have to have any money to come and attend one of our conferences. But we do need support. These cost a lot to put on. There are lots of expenses, so we appreciate anything you can.
That would be great. So just to reiterate, the conference, Circling the Wagons Conference, is this Friday and Saturday, February 21st and 22nd, 2014, here in Salt Lake City, Utah. Events begin on Friday night at 7 o'clock at the McGillis School with the Families in Conference Workshop presented by Lee Beckstead and Dave Matheson, Jim Struve, and a few others that I'm probably forgetting right now, but... it will be fantastic, and would love to see as many of you there that are able to attend. So, and Kendall, thank you so much. It's always great to chat with you, and we'll be on the phone and on this podcast again soon to give some further information and all of that good stuff for Circles of Empathy and the retreat coming up in June. Is that what you said?
Yep, weekend of June.
That sounds great. Anything else you guys would like to add or say before we say sayonara?
Nope.
I just
love you too.
We'll see you guys this weekend. Have a great one.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.